following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
More like Jason and Pete and company.
And friends.
Welcome to the Forcecast, this week's episode for August 10th, 2007. And we're trying something a little bit new. We're taking it to the next level. Last week, we were joined by a couple of guests, and this week we've got more than a couple of guests. I don't know how many we have here. We've got, a dozen or more? Who's counting?
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who are listening on recording, delayed recording... This is a podcast, after all. You're not in on the live fun. You got to get over to rebelscum.com and check out the forums. If you'd been paying attention, you'd know that we were given out a select number of invitations to kind of help us test pilot this new way of doing the Forcecast, and which is actually going to sort of create a live show. I mean, not sort of. I mean, it really does. Creates a live experience that we can hopefully do on a weekly basis and eventually expand to anybody who wants to join in, courtesy of TalkShoe.com. And... our good friend Jeff Roney, who's really helped kind of facilitate all of this for us. So we want to thank Jeff. Jeff is actually on TalkShoe right now and kind of helping people through the adjustments of getting used to this. So this is pretty cool. We're fortunate to have some other Forcecasters with us. We've got Jovial Jay Shepherd. Hello, Jay.
Hey there.
We've got fan club president Dustin Roberts. Dustin, how are you?
Good. You better not mute me anymore, man. I'm going to come up there and kick your butt.
And how about
okay,
Dan?
Mute him again.
And how about Dan? How about Dan Curto, all the way from Florida on vacation? What an understanding wife Dan's got. How are you, Dan?
Hey, guys. Hey.
First of all, we want to thank our sponsors, Official Picks. That's a Picks. .com, picks with an X, officialpicks.com. If you missed out on the 30th anniversary black and white photo set at Celebration 4, there is a limited supply available now. First come, first serve. Check it out, officialpicks.com. Also, the fan club breakfast is back. It will be on October 20th and 21st at the in Dallas for the... Dustin, are you going to be there?
Unfortunately, no.
No.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You're going to be there. Now, this is the Sci-Fi Expo?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So is the breakfast on both days or just one day?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I think they're just going to do one. It's not a big enough event for two, I don't think.
Okay.
If you need further details on that and you're going to be in the area, check out officialpicks.com. They'll have all the information, the correct information, including how many days they will have. So... You know, if you need the official source, it's officialpicks.com.
Right. And you could take 15% off your entire order online. Offer valid till August 15th. Check that out by using Summer Sale, the coupon code Summer Sale. It's just their way of thanking everyone for the amazing convention season that we've had.
Because the reason I'm upset is it's the same day as my first wedding anniversary, and I'm not going to be able to make the show. And
oh, when's your wedding anniversary?
You gotta have same priority, day. Man.
When's your wedding anniversary? October 20th or the 21st?
Yep, the 20th.
The 20th. All right.
See, and we were talking about that earlier.
I've already cursed Ben and Philip. Thank you.
Well, if you
hey,
want
to guys.
Be, yeah.
My wife is very understanding, but we gotta get this. I gotta go.
Oh, Dan Curto is already
mind,
getting
I'm gonna
the
cut ahead.
All right, Dan is going to jump ahead of the line, so we might as well just go ahead and get to a little bit of collecting news.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Dan, this is highly irregular. You're totally throwing the show off. The flow is gone.
Sorry.
All right. Well, while we're lucky enough to have you on the phone, and we do appreciate you taking the time out of your vacation to be on the show with us, we want you to talk about the Saga Legends poll part deux that is now upon us. What can you tell us? How is it different? How is it the same? What's at stake? Tell us.
All right. Here's the rundown on this. What Hasbro's going to do is they're going to release a fifth wave for Saga Legends, and the fans net-wide are currently voting on this. Now, if you remember in the fall, Rebel Scum readers were able to vote on this one, first in our forums and then up on our front page. But this time around, we wanted to make it a little bit broader and have every collecting site become a part of this, not just Rebel Scum. So every collecting site that's part of the Q&A that comes out every 2 weeks, they're all doing their own separate poll. And however they're going to do it, that's up to them. The way we're doing it is round one in our forums is going to figure out the top 25 figures from the past. Same concept as last time. There are a number of characters that are not eligible, and that's found in the forums as well and on the Rebel Scum front page. But pretty much anything else is fair game. At the end of this week, by the time this records, we'll figure out who the top 25 are, and we're going to figure out, we're going to start round two. Bless you.
Okay.
which will be on the front page.
Oh, damn, I thought it was muted, man.
You're not muted.
See, that's the...
No problem.
That's the whole thing with being
no
live,
problem.
You know?
Live podcasting. All right, so Dan, the voting for Rebel Scum readers is going to happen in the forums again, right?
Right, right. So what it's splitting it up to be is like this. Rebel Scum forum members get to vote for the first round. Then we open it up on the front page, kind of like last year where we're going to have the art poll go up and people can vote, all, you know, whoever. All the collectors can sign in. Actually, no, this won't be a sign-in. All the collectors can just visit the front page, vote on their favorite characters, and then the top 10 from round two will be sent over to Hasbro.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Hasbro is going to then determine who will be in their poll. So they're going to put up from all the collecting sites the top 20 characters, whoever that happens to be, and then they'll have the final poll on their site. And then the top five or six from that poll will be actually the five or six figures included in the wave.
Okay. All right. So
it's really quick, fast-paced voting, but the bottom line is come, I think it's in the spring of next year, wave five will be what everyone, Rebel Scum forum members, collectors, and fans worldwide, these are the figures that they've chosen.
All right, Dan, if you had to speculate based on how the voting went last year and who was in and who was out, what are some of the figures that you're looking at as being strong contenders in the 2008 poll?
Well, I'm thinking Ethan Mon is a shoe-in. If it's eligible, the VOTC Stormtrooper, we're still questioning that because we're not entirely sure. The early bird Chewbacca is the favorite so far, and coming out of left field is Commander Bly. Now Commander Bly is sort of ineligible because he's part of the Battle of Felucia battle pack. However, what fans are really saying they want is Bly with the correct paint scheme, which is something Hasbro did in the Revenge of the Sith line, but very limited release.
Right.
And Bly that's in the Felucia battle pack is actually the wrong colors. So,
okay.
I don't know.
Is that like the Evolutions one?
I'm sorry?
There's the Evolutions. Isn't Bly and the Evolutions or a variation of Bly and the Evolutions?
Yes, but it's not the correct color scheme. Basically, okay. It needs the brown stripes, and the one in the Felucia Battle Pack is not correct.
Got it.
Hey, Dan.
So, also, Commander Neo is a popular character in the forums right now. Although he was part of the Seleucami battle pack, which was exclusive to Walmart, and there's some question, when I left, there was some question whether that set was eligible or ineligible because of its release date. So I hope to find that answer out by the time I get back on Saturday, and then when I begin round two, all those questions should be answered, and I'll post up our top 25 based on what I know.
Now, Dan...
And how people voted.
There's a... there are several things that are excluded that are not eligible. A lot of the battle packs and the exclusives from each retailer. And when I was looking down the list, and obviously the Macquarie convention exclusives are a big deal still at this point. But I was thinking, do you think that's going to skew the voting a little bit since the Macquarie figures have been – the retail figures have been hard to find yet, the Boba Fett, the Stormtrooper, the Chewbacca. Do you think those are going to show up? Do you think that's going to be part of this, or is that going to be something that's going to be excluded?
Hasbro's plans are going to be that all of the Chase figures, all the Macquarie figures so far, they will be re-releasing them in future assortments down the line towards the end of the year and into next year. So there will be a chance to get them again, which is part of the reason they're not eligible in this round.
Okay, so those are ineligible.
Correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, basically anything in the current tack line, the current vintage line, any of the convention exclusives, none of those are eligible at the moment.
So anything that should still be showing up on the shelves is not eligible?
Correct.
Okay.
All right, so what I'm thinking is maybe there's somebody there that out here that's listening that has a question for Dan. Anybody have a question for Dan Curto? And okay, let's see
make
who this is going to be. Yeah, make it quick because he's got lots of... Okay, Darth Fagan, you're on. Darth Fagan.
Hey, Dan. Are any of the Star Wars shop exclusives eligible, or are they out as well?
Yo, Dan.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger.
Oh, hold on a second.
Hello,
here he is.
Hello?
There you are, Dan.
The thing with the exclusives is that if there's a chance that they're going to come out with them again, they don't want to bring them out in this particular wave. Like, for example, just not the one that you asked, but the Kirkanos and Carnar Jex two-packs, that was out earlier as Entertainment Earth, but they're restocking them. So, you know, some of those, like the Shadow Scout, for example, that's ineligible right now.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Anybody else have a question for Dan? All right, Dan, I think we can probably let you go back to the family. Thanks for the update. We'll have more.
Yeah. Have a great show.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Sorry for some of the technical difficulties. We'll get them all ironed out, though.
Eventually.
No problem.
We're not going to be like Dustin and just bail. anyway, all right, Dan. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Have a great show. I'll see you next week.
Okay. See you. Yep. All right. Well, now that he's gone.
So is the show over now? I mean, usually collecting, that just means it's the,
no,
the end.
No. The show, unfortunately and fortunately, the show is far from over, my friend.
There we go.
Anyway, hey, how about that Galaxy of Music?
Fantastic. As always, Jimmy Mac knocks it out of the ballpark. And I have to say that of all the tracks that are on there, and almost all the tracks of the Galaxy of Music so far, the track that he played that Jay had alerted him to about the Wilhelm scream is awesome. It's really good. If you guys haven't downloaded it, make sure you do, because this is one of the best ones, and he gives a background to the Wilhelm scream. It's very funny, and you know, it goes right into the song, which is great. So
it's one of our longer Galaxies of Music.
For a Wilhelm scream.
What was that, Jay?
Yeah, this is a good place for a Wilhelm scream.
That's right. That's the song, man. It just chronicles all the events that could use the Wilhelm. So it was great, and thank you, Jay, for doing that. And thanks, of course, to Jimmy Mack for putting everything together, because not only are all the Galaxy Music's great, but this one was above par. So congratulations to him.
Well, speaking of Jimmy Mack, of course, he's a resident of the Chicago area. And coming up, actually, looks like that's going to be this weekend. Starting tomorrow is the show, as we record the show here, at the Rosemont Convention Center, the Wizard World Chicago, and our friends Chris and Courtney Macht are going to be there, of course, promoting The Force Among Us. And they'll have a panel Sunday from 3:30 to 4:30 in the Marshall Rogers Room. So if anybody's going out there, you can make sure that you look up Chris and Courtney and tell them you heard them on The Force Cast.
Isn't that Eminem?
What's that?
I thought that was Eminem. Is that Marshall Rogers?
No. That's the other one.
That's a completely different genre.
I hear he's suing Apple, by the way.
Sure.
iTunes.
No, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Eminem.
You know,
it doesn't want all those sales.
Well, when our career starts to fade, and that's what we're going to do, just to get some pub.
Right, that's right. All right, Pete, tell us about what Randy Martinez has got going on.
Well, hopefully all of you have heard the microcast that I did, the interview with Randy Martinez, where he talked about doing his prints for Acme Archives and how they had come and asked him about the Bounty Hunters print, which he had up at C4 and across at several of the conventions that he went to. Well, they are starting to become available, and I emailed Randy today, and he got back to me. There's a print of Bounty Hunters, which features Dengar, Boba Fett, and Greedo in a scene kind of looking towards Jabba's palace, and then Scoundrels, which features Han Solo, Lando, and Chewie. Those prints are now available for pre-order, and he said that there are going to be three more that are going to be showing up very soon. So you make sure, if you are looking for those, they're limiting these releases to 395 per piece. So they're not going to last very long. Make sure you head on over there. They really haven't pubbed it yet. So if you are one of the people that wants to get in on it, you probably can still get in there and get it taken care of pretty soon, because they haven't really talked about it yet. But once this starts to go live, these are going to go away pretty quickly. So head on over there and make sure you show Randy some love, because they're great prints. And I know I'll be adding them to my collection, which, again, wall space is the big concern here, so we're working on how we're going to get that. But
well, Randy had a little bit of drama, didn't he?
He did, and this is one of those crazy stories that you hear and you just go, "Wow, how did this happen?" But there was a fan that named Alex from Germany who was in LA for Celebration 4, and he had gone to a dealer and purchased the original art that he had done for his Celebration 3 print called the Grand Finale. And this is a huge piece. It was a huge frame piece that he bought from a dealer. It's 30 by 40, so it's a huge print piece. So he had it shipped back to, and Alex incidentally had stopped by and talked to Randy and said how much he enjoyed the print and how lovely it was and how great it looked framed. So he crated it and sent everything back to Germany, but it had to go through customs. When he got back and he opened the crate, he took it out, and the only thing that was in there is the frame. Somebody had actually gone in there and taken the time to pull the piece of artwork out of there and then just leave the frame. Now, and you know, this is original artwork.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
It's a huge piece, so we have to believe that Alex paid a pretty decent amount of money for this piece. So Randy said, "Hey, can you get the story out? Because if we see this on eBay, if you see this in a shop, if you see this anywhere, let us know."
Because this is the original.
Yeah, this is the original, and obviously Alex would want it back, and it would really be great if we could get it back for him, because what a terrible story to spend, you know, that hard-earned money on something like that and have it jacked by somebody at customs.
That's talk about taking advantage of your position.
Yeah.
You know, well,
it's the TSA looking out for our better interest.
Yeah, that's right.
wait a minute. No, this was Germany.
This is Germany. So,
well, we assume.
I can only blame Hitler.
I mean, we don't know. I mean, it could have. I don't know if it happened here in the States or it happened once it got to Germany. Who knows?
Right. Well, and there's no, you know, he after he created it, he obviously didn't have any contact with it until he got it back. So there's no idea where it happened or when it happened. But if you see the Grand Finale print, and we will have a link to it on our show notes on what it looks like, if you see it anywhere, make sure you can email us, you can email you know, theforce.net, you can email rebelscum.com, you can email Randy Martinez, anybody, just to let them know where you saw it. So just to get the word out there, we want to make sure that Alex gets his print back.
Yes, we definitely want that. That's a really sad story. I apologize for laughing, but...
Well, it just seems so ridiculous.
I know how excited I was after Celebration 4, and I sent all my stuff back to, you know... And I expected it to at least be damaged. I never expected it to be, you know, parts of it being stolen out of the box. I mean, what a letdown. What a letdown. Jay, you're a Californian or a recovering Californian, right?
Recovering Californian.
Have you ever been to one of these film nights in the park out there?
At Creek Park?
People in California don't go out too much.
Well, they do some pretty cool things. At least the one in San Anselmo at Creek Park, they're going to be commemorating the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. Now, this film night in the park is exactly what it sounds like. You've got this beautiful park, and I think they do it in various parks. There's different setups. I was on the website taking a look at some of the pictures, and they have these enormous screens and this huge sound system, and they play movies outside. You get picnic blankets, yeah. and I imagine you can probably take some food, or they have concessions there, and it just sounds like a really cool time. And coming up on August 31st and September 1st, it's sort of like a double feature in a sense. On Friday night, August 31st, there's the 1977 original version of Star Wars, and then on Saturday at 8 o'clock, the following day, is the 2004 version, the special edition. Well, no, I shouldn't say the special edition, the DVD edition. So,
that's cool that they got the original print, because I seem to recall after the special editions came out in 97, Lucas said that you weren't going to be able to get the original print anymore. So I'm kind of surprised that they actually, well, this is in San Anselmo, which is up near San Francisco, so maybe they were able to work something out with Lucasfilm.
They might have, or it's just they're playing the DVD. I don't know if they're allowed to do that.
Well,
maybe they are.
Yeah, that's possible. I guess they could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they have film screenings here in D.C. at the mall, or the, not the mall, but capital T, capital mall, you know, where the Washington Monument is, and they actually have projectors there. They don't, you know, it's not like a video projection or anything like that.
Well, Jay, it would have to be the DVD, because we've been told that the original film no longer exists. Folks, that's why we couldn't get you the original in anamorphic widescreen, because it's gone. George literally took scissors to the original cut. It's gone, because that's what they had to do to make the special. Of course, we know that that's not true.
Right.
There's
right.
No way that that's
true. When they come out with those press releases.
Right. So it would have to be the DVD.
The people they're talking to.
So, anyway, if you've been in the forums lately, there's been a little bit of discussion about the Billy Dee clips that we've been playing from his fantastic Only Billy Dee Could Play It role of Toussaint on General Hospital Night Shift. And there's been some spirited debate in the forums about, should this be a weekly feature? Should there be like the weekly Billy Dee clip? And then some people, it'll get old and tired. I don't think Billy Dee ever gets old and tired.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
So, we're not going to commit to this every week, because I don't know if Jimmy Mack can actually take watching General Hospital Night Shift on a weekly basis. But here is Billy Dee as Toussaint reflecting on kids.
I always figured I was going to have kids in my life, but there's none, as far as I know.
As far as I know. How autobiographical is it?
Yeah, it's got to stick that in of, as far as I know, because I'm too damn smooth not to have a child somewhere.
Oh, well, I can't get enough, but yeah. I haven't brought myself to actually watch the show. I'm living vicariously through my mother, who's a big General Hospital fan, and of course she watches it. And Jimmy Mack watches it, and you watched it.
I sat and watched riveted until he came on, and I have to say he didn't disappoint at all. I loved every minute of it. It's ridiculous.
I love that he wears like the crazy Michael Myers janitor suit, yes. You know, the blue jumpsuit.
And he, every scene,
I mean, janitors just don't even wear those anymore.
He just pushed around the cart.
Anyway, so there's your Billy Dee. We're not going to commit to every week, but. Who knows? We just can't resist. Especially that one. That one was too good.
Yeah, it's so funny. Sorry.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Well, your headlines for this week. It's kind of a strange week in Star Wars news. We had a little bit of a kind of a late-breaking story that, speaking to Jimmy Mack, he sent this to us. This looks like it came across one of those fancy wires that they have in those real radio stations, like where Jimmy worked. Now, Jay, maybe you've heard about this. You're a techie kind of guy. But now, okay. This is being purported as a real lightsaber. And I'm going to read from the story here. The weapon technology popularized in the Star Wars movies could soon become a reality, says this story. That's according to USA Today, which says the Department of Homeland Security, so you know that this is foolproof, is testing a lightsaber-type weapon. Now, lightsaber-type weapon. Now, what do we know about a lightsaber? We know that, according to the prequels, it can cut through walls. We know it can cut limbs, you know.
It can deflect laser bolts.
Yes, it deflects laser bolts. Blaster bolts. Okay.
And if it gets wet, it'll short out.
Yeah, and if it gets wet, it'll short out. Exactly. Okay. So, check this out. Homeland Security is testing this lightsaber weapon that is capable of subduing criminals, terrorists, and unruly airline passengers.
Of course.
Why wouldn't it?
Yes.
You could cut their limbs off.
Those are the top three problems that we have to face right now.
Right. All right. So, how does it do it? With a dazzling strobe light. Okay, so now they're reporting that this device will emit a powerful beam of light that temporarily blinds anyone who looks into it. This is no more like a lightsaber than just a really bright flashlight. That's what it is.
Yes, and somebody putting a colored lens over the flashlight. This is ridiculous.
I could do this with a laser pointer. Yeah. I could burn your retina. You give me long enough.
I certainly don't remember Mace Windu walking up to anyone and going, "Watch out!" and blinding them.
Look into this lightsaber.
This is somebody going, "Oh, this looks like a lightsaber." No, it doesn't.
This is either somebody, the writer of this story, this is either somebody that is a real Star Wars fan and they're just dying to write anything Star Wars related. They're like, "That's sort of lightsaber-ish." Or it's somebody who knows absolutely nothing about Star Wars and was just looking for a hook. So anyway, the security agency has invested $1 million pinky to lip, testing the LED incapacitator is what it's being called.
it's one of those stories that if we weren't reading it right now, I would say you're lying. And
I love this quote. It's like Homeland Security says, if all goes well, the device should be in the hands of thousands of policemen, border agents, and National Guardsmen by 2010. It is a non-lethal weapon that can be used.
Yeah, right. Come join the National Guard, blinding thousands of people per day.
Go ahead, Jay.
It doesn't just blind. It doesn't just blind. It also can induce nausea and cause people to black out, much like those Japanese animations, you know, where they do the smoke effect.
Hey, actually, that happens to me when I look at those pictures where if you stare at long enough, you're supposed to see a dolphin jumping out of the water. I've never seen those.
I mean, seriously, there's certain, is this a technology we need to be investing money in? I mean, seriously, don't you just need a black and white spiral like they used to use in the hypnotism movies that you could spin fast?
Well, better yet, just why don't you really invest in a lightsaber? You know, according to the History Channel documentary, it's plasma, baby. I keep hitting on this. It's plasma.
I have to keep reiterating the fact that there are two men that blew themselves up trying to make their own lightsaber. I don't know if we want to be investing human lives in this.
All right.
I'll take my master replicas and be fine with that. Thank you very much.
Okay, but check this. You said it's called the LED incapacitator?
Yes.
Okay. LEDI. LEDI. That's almost a Jedi. So it could be,
Jay, if you were reaching any more, you would be Stretch Armstrong.
All right, so...
it's going Mr. Fantastic, baby.
That's right.
You know, for a while we've been kind of giving StarWars.com a little bit of grief. We've been saying, who better to cover Star Wars news and happenings than you guys? I mean, you're the closest to the action. And for a long time I thought that the coverage was sort of lacking, the information was late. But I have to say, I've been really captivated by the Star Wars blog.
It's a good daily read.
It is a good daily read. And there was a story on there about Dark Lord of the Twitter. There's this great photo of a very convincing Darth Vader costumed clad individual. Looks like a Toys R Us. I can tell by the blue carts and the way the window looks. Not that I've been to a few Toys R Us's in my time.
Sad, sad.
And he's picking up a couple of Elmos, but if you're not familiar with what Twitter is... That's frightening. I'm hoping you actually have an Elmo doll, or this is going to be the end of our friendship. That's horrifying.
Yes, I have an Elmo doll right here.
Oh, okay. But anyway, Twitter is kind of like a mini blog, in a sense, where you can sort of be blogging throughout the day, and they're just very short statements, and you can keep track of what your friends are doing. But if you want to check up on this Darth Vader guy, you can do so. You can go over to Twitter. Let me see if where the URL is. We'll have the link on our show notes. Oh, twitter.com/Darth Vader. These are some of his most recent ramblings. Just discovered a side benefit to having robotic arms and hands. No need for pot holders when cooking my legendary barbecue Bantha burgers. I thought that was good, pretty good. The other one is my iPhone chest unit upgrade is complete. Activation is delayed indefinitely, however. Something tells me this isn't going to be good. Pete, you had some favorites up here.
Well, my ultimate favorite is, by the way, for the record, I did bring balance to the Force after the Muppet died. Jedi equals two, my kids, and Sith equals two, me and the Emperor. Hey, two equals two, I guess. You know, that's logic you can't argue with. Even I know that type of math.
I like this one. I just upgraded my legs with a sweet dancing program. I have plans to break into So You Think You Can Dance and show these losers up.
If nothing else, he can at least be an all-star on Dance Dance Revolution.
So if you're having a really boring day at work, you might as well keep up with the Dark Lord over at Twitter. They're actually pretty funny, and it depends on how bored you are at work. They get a lot funnier when you're having a bad day. We're kind of blown through this news pretty quick. If anybody that's listening live has questions, go ahead and queue up. If there's anything we've covered that you want to comment on, could be the – what was it? I forgot already. The interceptor, the interrogator, the incinerator. What was it?
The LAD incapacitator.
Incapacitator. Oh, right, right, right. It sounds very Star Trek-y, actually.
Wow.
1.21 gigawatts.
Over at Sci-Fi Wire, there's a story about some Star Wars items up for auction, and you never know if these are, like, authorized auctions, so I get kind of leery. Ever since the Obi-Wan, you know, Alec Guinness smelly cloak reared its ugly head in the spring, you just never know. But one of the items being auctioned off is a real honest-to-goodness Chewbacca head. It's supposed to get anywhere between $80,000 and $100,000. They're going to be auctioning these things off on eBay. This is eBay Live. They have live auctions on eBay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that Chewbacca head was the one from the guy on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. You know, this is a good investment, because not only can you wear it to wow your friends at Halloween parties, but you can also use it as a disguise for assault.
Panhandling.
Yes, or panhandling. I mean, the actual amount of money that you can make off of this, it pales in comparison to what you're actually going to spend. I mean, that's just a good investment. That's just good biz.
Right. Now, they have 1,000 items up for sale. It's a big Hollywood auction. Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber from Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. That's hopefully going to get anywhere between $40,000 and $60,000. Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi lightsaber from The Phantom Menace, the one that he lost.
Whoops.
This weapon is... Oh, no. I'm wrong. Wrong line. Wrong line. It was actually a cutscene that I'm thinking about when Qui-Gon scolds him for losing the...
Have you even watched these movies?
Oh, shoot. You know where to cut.
That is a...
You know right where to hurt.
That is a low blow.
And what else? Oh, the Grail tablet from Indiana Jones and Last Crusade. That's pretty cool. $30,000 to $40,000. The Statue of Liberty head from Planet of the Apes. What? It was Earth?
It was us all along.
And the Johnny Five robot from Short Circuit and Short Circuit 2. $100,000 to $150,000. That's more than Short Circuit 2 made. $150,000.
I might pay that much just to kick the crap out of that robot in front of everybody.
There was a good song. You remember that Who's Johnny song?
No.
By DeBarge? DeBarge, yes.
Yes.
I'm not the only one that remembers this.
Also famous for the Rhythm of the Night.
Speaking of auctions, there's more auction news on eBay. As you know, the 30th anniversary Topps trading card set that was out recently, there were X number of really limited autograph cards, and one of them was actually signed by Harrison Ford. And the 30th anniversary, so you can imagine there's roughly, I think, 10 of these in existence, and the starting bid was $6,995.95, and I have to laugh because Mick posted this story, and Mick says, sure was nice of him to keep it under $6,996.
That's right. Sold.
Because, you know, not a nickel more.
That's right.
But I checked last night, and as of August 6th, it was up to $9,350. I'm afraid to. Yeah, can you imagine? That is a lot of money. It's,
you know, and it's just a little piece of cardboard that's going to get wet when the dog bites into it at some point.
Well, but what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking that you could, if you looked hard, you could, well, you wouldn't even have to look hard. I think you could find a Harrison Ford autograph for a lot cheaper than $9,000. I mean, this thing's going to be.
Yeah, definitely.
And it doesn't even look like this is for charity or anything. So,
not charity.
Yeah, right. So whoever's selling it, thanks a lot, jerk. hope you enjoy all that money. But you know, I mean, yeah,
they don't default.
Right. I'm trying to see. Let's see if we can get a live. This is very exciting since it's a live show. It's still at $93.50 right now. So
that guy's at this point going, come on, another bidder. Come on, another bidder.
So anyway, let's see. What do we got next, Pete? I lost it. Oh, here we go. Star Wars exhibit number one in London. We had an email from a listener asking about, is there going to be a Star Wars Celebration 2? And
Celebration Europe 2.
Excuse me, Celebration Europe 2. Yeah, yeah.
That came from Chris, and it, my reply to him was, we haven't heard anything, but from what everybody has said about how great Celebration Europe was, about how wonderful the attendance was, and this article which says, you know, this Star Wars exhibition, which is in London, it's been going on for 3 months, and it's still very, very popular, and it is the number one position in the top 20 family days out this summer in the telegraph.co.uk. So I can't believe that they would pass on an opportunity to have another Celebration Europe, whether it is in London, whether it's somewhere else in Europe. Just like with Celebration 4, the popularity drives everything there. And, you know, with how much people,
well, I mean, you have people,
and,
I mean, what I thought was interesting is you have people that are, you know, veterans of these celebrations that have been to all four of them now here in the States, saying that Celebration Europe beat them all.
Yeah. And from the pictures that we got, and, you know, it's unfortunate that we didn't get to get over there, but the pictures that we saw, there was just a lot of interactive stuff and a lot of things that really trumped some of the things that we had at Celebration 4. And I really...
yeah, it seems like they had a lot more, like, life-sized, like you were saying, interactive set pieces. And, I mean, they had the whole 10F4 hallway, and we had backdrops.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not, well, I mean, which...
yeah,
which what's that?
I was going to say they had that, yeah, they had that life-size Emperor Palpatine and life-size Skywalker, though.
Oh, yeah. So maybe they could bring Celebration Europe to the U.S.
That might have something to it. But, you know, I mean, it seemed like it was a great time. And, you know, this exhibit seems like it's fantastic. So if you haven't been there and you're in the area, you need to go. I know that our friends from The Art of Ralph McQuarrie, Paul and Athena, they were charged with touring a bunch of the artists and a couple of the other people through London at the time that the celebration was going on.
Did they hit the exhibit then?
They did hit the exhibit. You know, they tried to do all of this in 8 hours, so I think it was kind of one of those, if you look to the left, if you look to the right type of things. But, yeah. You know, they made sure to hit that because it was a very important part of Star Wars lore. So,
well, it seems like that this one was, that this exhibit in London is a little bit closer to the magic of myth, the exhibit that we had here in the States a couple of years ago, which I had a chance to see in Dayton, which was fabulous. I enjoyed it a little bit more than the Science of Star Wars, the most recent one, just because it was bigger. It had more props,
right.
More costumes. You know, all that learning kind of got in the way a little bit. Made my head hurt.
Again, it's my understanding that there would be no math.
Right. Learning? No, but I mean, but this clearly had... more of an interactive element for the kids, and I'm all for that. But for me, it was just about getting, you know, standing this close to, you know, the real Han and Carbonite or the real Slave Leia bikini and, you know, stuff like that. So, but anyway, you can they've got a pretty cool website. We'll have the link on our show notes for the Star Wars the exhibition in London. All right. Well, I'm sure that most of you have already seen the Clone Wars. The Cartoon Network animated series. But if you haven't, if you've been living under a rock for the last couple of years, you can see them for free, streamed online as part of a celebration of the first anniversary of the Toonami Jetstream website. I haven't actually gone over there to watch any. I have them on DVD, but Pete, you were checking them out.
Yeah, I went over there just to see exactly what was going on, and they are kind of staggering each episode and releasing a new one each week. Again, starting back on June 25th, and you know, they're going through the entire series, and it's really great to have these just stream right to your computer, and you can watch them anywhere. It's very nice, and it's something that I've watched over and over again, but again, an important part of what has made the Cartoon Network an important player in what's going on. And this is just like a lot of what the major networks are starting to do, which is streaming their major shows on their websites, which is fantastic. And
I haven't actually watched any shows online in that way. I mean, I've downloaded some shows from iTunes and watched them on the road, but I haven't actually sat there and watched a stream. Jay, have you done that? You done any of that?
Yeah, there are times when I either miss Heroes or Lost, and before it shows up, you know, on iTunes or someplace else to watch, you can watch the next day right there on, you know, ABC or NBC.com, and it's great. It's a good size. It comes in really fast. You just got to sit through a couple. They actually stick commercials in between the segments, but you know, you get to see the show, and you know, it's at your leisure, basically.
Right, right. How's the quality? Is it okay? I mean,
On high speed. I mean, I'm watching on my Mac, and it comes through in your web browser. You know, it's using the Flash technology, but they have it set up really nicely. It's a relatively large size. It's bigger than like 320 by 480 or whatever. I think it's a good quality.
When I saw the story, I mean, I know that George and Rick McCollum, I mean, they're looking at alternative options of distribution for the future of Star Wars and television. It's hard to imagine totally making a break from the model that we're all familiar with, the network model or the cable model. But having something on demand or streamed, you know, where you have to maybe sign up with a subscription or something, I mean, it very well could be one way to handle this.
Go ahead, Jay.
It's a good model. Yeah, it's a good model that they can get people to watch things more times. They had tried something like this with something called DivX a while ago, which was,
I have one of the last remaining DivX players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they would release it, and you could only, you know, you could watch some of the CD or the DVDs, the DivXs, you know, so many times before it would lock itself, and then you'd have to pay to unlock it, which, of course, didn't go over well, because why would you want to own physically the disc if you can't use it?
Yeah, I actually have a copy of Uncle Buck on DivX still, so I'm going to be putting that up on eBay. It won't fetch no $9,000, but it's worthless because
maybe if you sign it,
maybe that's what I'll do. I'll if we can make like 50 cents on eBay. Maybe a Forcecast listener will bid for my Uncle Buck DivX. Hey Jay, we've got someone here that wants to take or ask a question. They go by the handle Creative Audioscape. Creative Audioscape, you are on the Forcecast.
Hey guys,
how are you?
Hey guys. Fine. This is Danny, first of all. Glad to be with you guys.
Oh.
About the streaming, here in Canada, we have a real problem with the U.S. broadcasters if we want to listen to streaming shows, because they recognize the IP address and they block us automatically. So there's no way we can listen to non-broadcast show or past shows, unless a Canadian broadcaster has broadcast it and has put it on his website, and then we can listen to it. So
wait a minute, Danny, how are you? Let me get this straight. So because if you're in Canada and it's a U.S. show, say it's Heroes on NBC. You would not be able to log on to NBC.com and watch the streamed.
You can go all the way to the screen, but when you click on play, there's like a message and it says you're not a U.S. resident, so you cannot listen to the show online. Probably there's a way to hack this by redirecting your IP address or something, but if you don't know how to do it,
what you need to do there.
How could they be missing that opportunity? I mean, the web, the beauty of the web is the ability to appeal to a worldwide audience.
But I mean, this leads to, I mean, just look at the abysmal way the record industry has handled, the proliferation of file sharing. And I mean, I gotta say, I mean, just by and large, there are very few people in the entertainment industry that get it. There are very few people in any industry that really get it.
But basically, it's only, from what I saw, it's only the U.S. broadcaster, StarWars.com. We don't have that kind of block on the stream or anything. It's mostly the U.S. broadcaster, the big channels.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but hopefully Lucasfilm, if there is a future of Star Wars, the television content being posted on the web somewhere, hopefully they'll see to that.
I think it's mostly because of pirating, because in Europe most of the shows the resident there have to wait like 6 months to 1 year before having the show translated. So in France, for example, they go download the US version and somebody, a fan, just translate and put subtitles and it goes on the web like 6 months earlier.
Well, you know, if they made the content easy to get legitimately, people wouldn't pirate. Not as much. But when they do harebrained things like this, like blocking IP addresses because you're in a foreign country, these people need to get it. Danny, thanks a lot for the comments. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us this week.
No problem.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I had no idea that was something.
Yeah,
again,
like you said, they just don't get it.
No, they don't.
And you wish they would, because there's a whole market out there, and I know it has all.
It's all greed. It's all greed and in control. We got to control it. And you know, I'm kind of reminded of the story right when Indy 4 was kind of getting off the ground when. Spielberg was, it seems like, at least the story was, that Spielberg was concerned about, you know, leaks and everything, and George just finally said, look, there's going to be leaks. There's nothing secret anymore.
No, you can't do it anymore.
But I really think if you work with the fans, a lot of these properties like Star Wars have really used the fans in a good way, but utilized the fans to make the property stronger, more popular, more what the fans want, and they've been enriched by the whole experience.
We talked about that last week with Transformers, and obviously a lot of that leaked beforehand, but it's done fantastic.
Right. Do you remember a couple weeks ago I sort of had some Harry Potter envy. I was coming off the high of reading the seventh Harry Potter book, and I said, wouldn't it be great if there was this much enthusiasm and this much anticipation for a Star Wars book or something like that?
I seem to remember that a couple weeks ago and also about 25 minutes ago.
Well, there was a library. Let's see, where was this? In Ocean County. Oh, of course. This is probably California. They do all the cool stuff in California. But anyway, there was a library that did kind of a Star Wars day, and they had their teen advisory board came up with the whole concept. The kids got to dress up, and it was just a big sort of Star Wars celebration. And I thought, boy, it'd be kind of neat if more libraries did that. And I think that you can use something like Star Wars to get kids to read. And Jay, I want to bring you in on this too. I think Lucas, the books division at Lucasfilm, I think they've been very, very adamant about always having some sort of junior novelization for all of the films, and even kind of junior in pre-adult books that cover storylines that we don't even get to see in the adult books.
Yeah, they. I mean, Lucas Lucas Entertainment have this commitment to the learning, and I mean, they've done it through LucasArts with their games, and like you say, with Scholastic publishing the junior novelizations and the Jedi Quest series and the Jedi Apprentice series, and now the Last of the Jedi series. They always have something that's available for the younger readers. And then even there's some new DK books coming out that are, I think we talked about these last week, the Learning to Read books, which, you know, are just, you know, very simple pages, but it's got the, you know, picture and stuff in it to help really engage children into wanting to read. They want to know, why is a Wookiee hairy? Why is the droid shiny? You know?
Right. Well, and I guess the doors, when the doors opened at 6:30 at this event, they already had a long line of people, you know, kids in costume. They said little Darth Vader's, Princess Leia's, Obi-Wan Kenobi's, and Luke Skywalker's waiting to get in. I mean, how else can you get, I mean, I don't know how it is at your library, but I go in there, it's like a ghost town. Usually, no offense, but it's homeless people in there trying, you know, reading the newspaper or whatever, trying to stay cool or stay warm or whatever. You don't see lines of kids waiting to get into the library, and no. I think this is cool that they did this, and there were stations where you could pose and get a photo with R2 and C-3PO. They had trivia contests. We're never going to capture the Harry Potter experience, and they're two totally different animals. But I think that Star Wars fandom can learn a little bit from Harry Potter and trying to engage some of the younger kids who are clearly taken by Star Wars. I see it every time I'm in a Target or a Toys R Us. There's a dad that looks like he's my age or maybe a little bit older with his, you know, 5 or 6 year old, you know, son, and they're going through the pegs. I mean, it's really exciting. So maybe we can do this same with the book learning.
And the difference between the two, though, is that, you know, Potter started out as a book, and it's trying to branch into other forms of media now with the films and video games and stuff, whereas Star Wars started off as a film and is trying to work into the other market, and it's more Star Wars is more of a multimedia experience because it's probably been around longer. It just has all the different trappings that work well with video games and audio and
right.
films and, you know, TV show and stuff like that. So.
Right, and let's face it, Jay, I know you're not going to like this, but the EU is just, it's too massive. It's too massive now. It can't contain itself. We're going to have a reboot in a few years.
the EU is massive, and of course, it's like rebooting it, like someone trying to get into, you know, Marvel comics or DC comics before they had their sixth reboot or whatever they've done now. But, I mean, the EU... If you just look at the current publications, you have 4 titles in the comics, and you've got a solid line of books with the Legacy of the Force that's being published right now. So if you're looking at it from that aspect, it's not really that massive. And there is a lot of hype going on with some of these comics. I mean, we're talking about it right before the show.
Well, that's true, right?
New releases that came out this week. So.
The reveal of Darth Crate. Don't tell me, don't tell me! I'm going to have to get to the comic book shop tomorrow.
Sorry.
Did you say Obi-Wan?
I knew it.
That really would be proof that the EU needs completely rebooted, wouldn't it? If they get to that desperate level of desperation. Speaking of books, Pete laid one on me right here before the show started. He actually got the Making of Star Wars book. Yeah, he got that for his birthday. The J.W. Rinsler book, and there was an article that I caught online about the 11 things you may not know about Star Wars, and some of them were kind of interesting, and some of them I knew, but we'll run down this list here real quick. Did you know, in between the second and third drafts, Luke was changed to be a girl?
I did not know that. Actually,
I knew that. Yeah, all you have to do is look at the Star or the Skywalker hero figure coming out, the McQuarrie concept.
Yes.
Star Killer,
right. That's a chick. I don't know where you come from, but that's a girl. Number 2, did you know, because of its size and proximity to the Tunisia Libya border, the Sandcrawler set was searched by the Libyan army to make sure it wasn't a secret Tunisian military weapon?
What I really want to know is, did they have LED incapacitators with them? Well, just in case there are some unruly Jawas or something going on that they just,
I mean, that's one heck of a Trojan horse, isn't it? Like, no, it's for this film.
Because nobody movie. Would think that's unusual.
Right. I think that's pretty good. This is also really good. Did you know that the R2-D2 robot went out of control and wandered into the set of Franco Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth? Which was also filming. Now that's good. That's funny.
It's over that dune.
Please tell me that somewhere on the special edition DVD of Jesus of Nazareth, there's a bonus feature of that cut scene of R2 crashing into the manger.
Oh, there's so much funny innuendo that you could make out of that. That's just, it's great.
It's, yeah. All right. So Alec Guinness, did you know he got mad and almost quit midway through production when George Lucas decided that Obi-Wan Kenobi would die?
That I did know.
I also have heard, and I have no, you know, substantiation of this at all, but I have heard that he did not like working opposite a puppet.
Mm.
I don't know if anybody else has heard that, but he...
Well, and that's a common theme, you know, whether it's puppets or CGI or whatever, you know, actors just don't care to work in that imaginary world all the time.
He's like, I did Shakespeare.
And I will say that Mark Hamill's performance wouldn't, but I wouldn't go so far as to call him a puppet.
Hey, now. Them's fighting words around here,
hey,
Shepard.
No.
You know that I'm the ultimate Mark Hamill fan, even though he stabbed me right in the back by not showing up at Celebration 4. I do believe it's a personal vendetta. It's a grudge. We've put feelers out to his people to be on the Force cast. They shot us down. I don't think he knows who we are. Do you?
I'm
pretty sure he said, "What is a podcast?"
Maybe I can do a Black Pearl podcast.
All right. That is a cheap shot right there.
All right. Okay. Here's the interesting thing. Now, do you think George Lucas is hard to work for? During the entire production, only two people were fired and no one quit. 32 were killed, but only one person was fired and two people were fired and no one quit.
All of a sudden, it's the pyramids of Egypt.
Now, this one is interesting. Carrie Fisher stood on a turntable to film the R2-D2 hologram message.
Did she sing, it's the most wonderful time of
today,
the year?
Today. Oh, it's horrible.
It's the most awful thing I can think of.
I can't even get past today. All right. After playing the part of C-3PO for the entire production, Anthony Daniels was almost replaced during voiceover recordings by someone who could make the character sound more like an American used car salesman. Now, I do remember hearing that. Thank God that didn't happen. And I'm sure there's one person that's happy about that, and that is Anthony, I always do, 3PO's voice, no matter what the medium is, Daniels.
Yes.
I mean, he has certainly held on to that role, and who could blame him? I mean, why would I would ride that?
Oh, yeah.
And he has, and good for him. We actually have some a little bit of speaking of Anthony Daniels, we have some clips. He was featured recently on the Boy Scouts of America website. We'll have a link to our show notes, but here's a couple of sound bites from. Who's laughing? Jay, are you laughing?
Sorry. No, I mean just, you know, putting the effeminate golden robot on the Boy Scouts website, you know, just does not seem like the right thing.
All right, let's be kind. Here he is, Anthony Daniels on a Boy Scout or on the Boy Scouts.
What was it like working in that costume?
Well, actors get to do all sorts of strange things in their career. It's, you know, it's part of the job. But I think probably I wore the strangest costume. Certainly from the inside, it felt very odd. From the outside, it looked magical. And, you know, any pains and scrapes were my business. The audience don't need to know that. But I was delighted when the audience did enjoy the movies because it made it kind of worthwhile. You know, when you put a lot of effort into something and people say, that's good, then you feel rewarded.
That's fantastic.
All right, we also have we've got another one here.
What was it like?
Oh, oops. Hands like feet. Let me tell you, I'm quick on these buttons. Let's see, we got Anthony Daniels. More on the Boys. You can get the entire interview over, we'll have the link on our show notes, but over at the Boy Scouts of America website. Here is more with Anthony Daniels.
Were you ever a part of the scouting program in England when you were a boy?
I'm embarrassed to admit something, and I think I have talked about it in the past. I was at a certain point around the age of, I would imagine, 8 or 9, a Cub Scout. And I had the little gray shorts and the little green sweater. And I had socks that were hairy and itchy, and they had a green tab kind of that was underneath the top. I don't know how that worked. And I had a cap, and that was it. And I had fun there for quite a while. And then I saw some of the other boys had all these badges on their arms, and I thought, well, I haven't got any badges. So I went to a store and I bought all these badges, and I took them home. My mother sewed them on. And then I went back the next time to join our troop and go dip, 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 and dop, 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 and all that kind of thing. And they looked at my badges and said, where are those from? Nobody explained to me that you had to earn these badges. I thought they were kind of decoration. So I left shortly after that. I think I was thrown out. So you can tell that I wasn't made to be a scout.
Okay.
True story.
That's great. I love that.
But he was made to be a protocol droid. That's for sure. We do know that. And thanks again to Jimmy Mack for getting those.
I almost can't go on after that. The fact that he went out and bought his own badges, that's just pure gold.
You don't need no stinking badges.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's see. What else do we got going on here? This was pretty interesting. I'm not a sports fan, so I'm sure Pete will enjoy this. But tale of the tape, we've got Darth Vader versus Barry Bonds. Pete, you want to give him the rundown on this?
Oh, well, and this is one of those close comparisons. Just who is in fact Barry Bonds? Who does he relate to in pop culture? And of course, comparing them, they're pretty close. Darth Vader is the most reveled being in the galaxy.
Reviled.
Right. Being in a galaxy far, far away. And Barry Bonds is the most reviled being in a ballpark near you. Both are covered with armor. Darth Vader, body is scientifically enhanced. Barry Bonds, allegedly scientifically enhanced. Darth Vader, typically seen as heartless and self-absorbed. Barry Bonds, pretty much the same. significant other, Natalie Portman busted out a gangster rap on SNL, and Barry Bonds will pose for Playboy.
There's a striking similarity.
There's stuff going on here. Darth Vader used to be a Jedi. Barry Bonds used to be a pirate. And of course, they both have slightly...
Being that I know nothing about sports, you know what I'm picturing.
Yeah, I know.
On a ship in the Caribbean.
Right.
Yeah.
Yar.
Right.
Caribbean.
And of course, the obligatory match is they both have slightly annoying hangers-on. Darth Vader's being Jar Jar Binks, and Barry Bonds is being ESPN's Pedro Gomez, who reported on his every single movement for the last 5 weeks. So it was quite an interesting comparison, and it's one of those things. Is Darth Vader based in reality, or is Barry Bonds based in fantasy? Who knows?
You decide.
But in all seriousness, congratulations to Barry Bonds for breaking the all-time home run record. Hopefully somebody who's not juiced up will do so in the short term.
Right.
And that's the only thing I'll say on that.
Well, since Dan Curto joined us at the top of the show, we're just going to kind of hit a couple of collecting items.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
We'll make this the real collecting update, but... I want to thank Dan for literally taking time out of his vacation in Florida with his whole family and jumping on the phone and joining us to talk about the Saga Legends poll. And that's cool. And it's good that all the other sites have a chance to stop complaining. I mean, have a chance to join in, participate. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Having a lot of slips of the tongue tonight. I would be remiss if I didn't remind those of you that are collectors of the 12-inch Sideshow line, one of the coolest figures, I think, and a sentimental favorite of mine, Bespin Luke, is going up for pre-order. As the show goes live on TFN, that's today, for those of you that are actually listening and participating while we record this, that's in a couple days. So make sure that you set that alarm on your cell phone or program an email to, you know, come to you a couple minutes till 1, that's Eastern Standard Time, and jump on the Sideshow website and pre-order that. Now, Pete and I have kind of, we've come to the conclusion that we just can't possibly, we just financially cannot do this Sideshow 12-inch line like we had intended, which was to pick up every one of them. Jay, I admire you. Have you picked up any of them?
I got the, what was it, the Jericho holograph table.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
So, no, I've gotten none of the 12-inch figure.
Jay, just so you know, and I don't want to ruin this for you, but it is not life-size. So if you're planning on having a DeJeric tournament in your house, we're not going to be able to do that with that item.
Okay. Good to know. Thanks, Pete.
You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news on things like that, but...
Well,
I figured, you know, for $50, it was too good of a deal. So.
That's right.
It actually wasn't too bad of a piece. I mean, considering the price, it was kind of cool, but it was just odd. It was an odd piece to put out at the time that they did it. Hopefully, they'll put something out that, you know, gives it some context. But anyway, I'm definitely going to pick up the Luke, the Bespin Luke. I'm thinking that I may pass on a couple that I pre-ordered that. Before they show up. So if you're on the wait list for Asajj Ventress, one of you has to be, you're probably going to get one, because I think I'm going to diss Asajj and cancel my order to help me justify paying for the Bespin Luke. I can't pass that one up, and I can't pass up the Alec Guinness Obi-Wan.
That's
what got me into the line, because I knew eventually they were going to do that in a Vader, and I got to have those two. So, but anyway, looking at, couple other things here. The sketch cards, the top sketch cards, the 30th anniversary that are the 30th anniversary trading card set have these artist sketch cards in them. There's a great profile over at StarWars.com on Kat Stagg's contribution to the set. She's got a lot of really cool things there. So make sure you check that out. We'll have the link on our show notes. And congratulations, Kat, for they're really cool. I especially love the Star Wars logo versions that she did with the different characters. That's very cool.
Well, and kudos to Topps for going out and getting a collection of just the top artists in the field and really grabbing a lot of great people and a lot of friends of this show, Matt Bush and Allison Saun, Dave Dorman, Adam Hughes, Mark Brooks, Grant Gould, who's done some great stuff, and you know, Cynthia Cummins and a couple of the other people, Joe Caroni. I mean, the list just goes on and on of Russell Walks. I have to mention all the people that have been nice enough to come on the show. So, you know, but all the great artists are represented here, and they've all done something really fantastic with what's going on. So, I'm anxious for this set to start coming out, just because it'll be great to pull these out and go, hey, I remember seeing this. I remember Kat, you know, showing us the preview art on this, and Grant, you know, design. You can tell definitely this is a Grant Gould piece. So I'm very excited about this, and congratulations to all those artists. And I think this will be a set that really does very well.
I'm sure it will. And we know that Han Solo card is going to do quite well. I think we've got a question here from who is it? Is this Darth Fagan again? Darth Fagan. You're on with the Forcecast.
Yeah, I'm bugging you guys again.
Hey, that's all right.
Hey, first off, I got to ask, how big is your basement? I mean, you have like every 12-inch.
Well,
and you do single cards as well, don't you?
I do. How big is how big is the basement? It's not that big.
It's not that big, but it's how you place your items that really accentuates the basement.
I have a display case. Well, yeah. In the case of my 3¾ line, I have them all in the closet. They're in long comic boxes, a la Steve Sansweet. I think that's really the best way. We got an email from somebody asking about what are the best cases to get for your carded figures, and I said, really, for me, comic book bags with backer boards. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I can't justify paying an additional, you know, buck or $2 per figure to keep them safe. Now, I will use those for, you know, some of the more exclusive figures, or some of the, you know, like my long sabers from the, you know, 95 and stuff. But my basement's not all that big. I do display a selection of loose 3¾, and then all the 12-inch. They kind of fit in this little display case that my brother made for me. I get like six per row. And so there's like six on the top, six on the bottom. So it's not that bad.
Not bad at all. Speaking of accentuating, I was hoping you guys were going to touch on the Kodo Slave Leia on Rebel Scum Tim today.
Hurrying up and doing our show research. Well, tell us about it. What's the deal?
I put you on the spot. No, it's just, I don't know. I'm sitting here looking at.
Is it like the prototype photo. Gentle Giant one that was a little suggestive?
It is a little suggestive. She's not like really laying down. She's more sitting on one leg, and she has this craziest look on her. It looks like, are you talking to me? And it's just hysterical. It's the funniest sculpture I've ever seen.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at it right now. Hold on.
That's one of those poses that you didn't see in the movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like, who, me? Like, she's totally unaware that she's wearing a metal bikini. Oh, my God.
Do you want to buy me a drink?
Oh, she doesn't feel the draft. Oh, well.
No.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that the... I was a little disappointed. I mean, with the Gentle Giant one, I kind of like the prototype version better myself, but that's just me. The changes were subtle.
Line that we have to walk here, you know? These are collectibles.
One minute it's all for the kids and the libraries, and the next minute I want my X-rated Slave Leia statue from Gentle Giant.
with the face going, who, me? Right. Oh, you.
Well, she kind of, this one looks like this kind of like bizarre porcelain doll. It kind of has that porcelain look, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it also has a little bit of that touch of, I'm just about ready to jump off here and whip the crap out of you with my chain. just thinking outside the box on this one, like what the next part of that scene would be.
Well, we've got a little bit of spirited debate kind of coming up. We've got some listener mail, and I really want those of you who have kind of suffered through this this test of doing a live show, we want to get you involved in just a minute. So we got some discussion coming up with our listener mail.
The Force Cast.
Yeah!
Your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more. This is the Forcecast. Contact Jason and Pete now. Leave a message or MP3 with your Star Wars tales, comments, and questions.
Hearing my Star Wars tale on the podcast last Friday really made my day. And considering that I just recently found out about getting recommended for Navy Officer Candidate School, OCS, for surface warfare, but being on this Forcecast happened to be more exciting for me than my future career. I guess being such a Star Wars fan and hearing my voice on the Forcecast really made me feel like part of something larger.
The Forcecast. Better than a job promotion.
Email the Forcecast crew. podcasts@theforce.net. Leave a voicemail. 330-871-4TFN. Using Skype, look us up. Forcecast. All one word. It's the weekly Forcecast.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right. Those of you who have been following this, I think we talked about it last week, I believe.
We talked about it briefly. We talked about it the week before.
Yeah. So this whole issue about Leia remembering her mother. We got an email a couple weeks back where it said, what is the Forcecast's official stance on, does Leia remember her real mother? Is it is she remembering... as we refer to her, Mrs. Bale, Mrs. Bale Organa. Who is she remembering? And I got a very spirited into a very spirited debate with Jeremy. Jeremy, a friend of ours and listener in Japan, and he writes. He says, "Hi guys, it's me again. First, thanks for reading my email on the Forcecast on August 3rd." That answers when we did that. Just refresh your memory. I wrote in saying that Leia's memory of her mother, as mentioned in the Return of the Jedi, might actually have been of Rhea. Now, Jay, is he correct on that? Is that the name of Organa's wife?
Yeah, that's Mrs. Bale, Brea. Brea.
Oh, Brea.
I will continue to refer to her as Mrs. Bale.
Yeah, I think I will. Mrs. Smits. But anyway, he says, I would like to point out to Pete that, in fact, I can prove this to you.
Hmm.
And it doesn't cheapen it. It makes it all the more dramatic. Follow me on this. Okay, I'm quoting here. Luke is outside the Ewok hut. Leia knows something is troubling him, but she doesn't know what it is. At this point in their relationship, they're still friends. She has feelings for him, but she doesn't understand them. I guess the Force draws them close together because they're bond as twins and Force sensitives. Leia says, what's wrong? And moody, Luke just flatly says, do you remember your mother? Without answering her original question. This is the key point, dudes. At this point, she doesn't actually know that she is a Skywalker. She believes that she is an Organa. There is no indication that Bail ever revealed the truth to her. If he had, maybe Vader would have got wind of it or would have sensed her in the Force. Bail must have kept it a secret. Then later in the conversation, after asking about Leia's mother, Luke mentions, you have a power that, or Leia mentions that you have a power I could never understand or ever have. Then at that point, Luke drops the bomb on her with, yes, the Force is strong in my family. I have it. My father has it. My sister, yada, yada, yada. She looks very shocked. Okay, but he skipped. I have to tell you, Jeremy, you skipped the most important line, my friend. And your argument completely falls apart because the line is, do you remember your mother? Your real mother? And I can prove it to you.
Leia, do you remember your mother? Your real mother?
Just a little bit. She died when I was very young.
What do you remember?
Just images, really. Feelings.
Tell me.
She was very beautiful, kind, but sad. Why are you asking me this?
I have no memory of my mother. I never knew her.
All right. Now, if you need more convincing, I turn to what I refer to as the Bible, for you purists like me. That aren't so much into the EU. But here you go. I go to the annotated screenplays by Laurent Beldeleu.
Bozzaro.
Yeah, thank you. Bozzaro. We've got to get this guy on the show. I would love to have him on the show. I mean, I can't even imagine. I really was hoping that there would be an annotated screenplays book for the prequels. Jay, you need to make sure that we get that suggestion into the powers that be. I know you wield lots of crazy influence over the folks over there at Del Rey and Lucas Books.
Yeah, well, hey, Pete and Bonnie, can we make sure that we get this book out? Thanks, guys.
I would be happy to collaborate with Mr. Lucas on this, actually. Be happy to. Anyway.
You're so selfless.
I really am, aren't I? So if you look at the annotated screenplay, it of course recounts what we just heard. And there's a quote in here by George Lucas, and if I may. The man Leia called father was obviously not her father. He's part of the group that ends up having to fight Darth Vader in the film that will be out in 2003. Ha 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 ha. The part that I never really developed is the death of Luke and Leia's mother. I had a backstory for her in earlier drafts, but it basically didn't survive. When I got to Jedi, I wanted one of the kids to have some kind of memory of her because she'll be a key figure in the new episodes I'm writing. But I really debated on whether or not Leia should remember her. I rest my case, my friends. Out of the mouth of George Lucas, she does remember her real mother, but just, images, feelings, that sort of thing. And it's even Hold on. If you go to the novelization, and here this is more Jay's territory, Luke says, Leia, do you remember your mother, your real mother? According to the novelization, the question took her totally by surprise. She'd always felt so close to her adopted parents, as if they were her real parents. She almost never thought of her real mother. That was like a dream. Yet now Luke's question made her start. Flashes from her infancy assaulted her. Distorted images or visions of running. A beautiful woman hiding in a trunk. The fragments suddenly threatened to floor her with emotion.
Hiding in a trunk?
Yeah, hiding in a trunk. I don't remember that happening.
This goes back to like an Eminem song, Stan. if we go to the radio dramatization by Brian Daly, Luke asks, Leia, do you remember your mother, your real mother? Yeah, just a little. She died when I was very young. And then he goes on, as with the movie, what do you remember? Just images, really, feelings. And then she explains,
So, you know, the biggest thing about this, and what I'm kind of surprised of now with all this debate that's been going on, is there's really no expanded universe information for us to fall back on. All we know about this situation is what we have presented in Return of the Jedi, and a little bit in Revenge of the Sith with Mrs. Bail, you know, being there, but there's no other information.
Well, I mean, my point was was that if she's describing, if she's all emotional there, and describing, you know, Brea Organa, where's the drama in that? I mean, Luke is, you know, has just found out that his father is the nastiest guy in the universe, maybe the second nastiest, and he's looking for some kind of hope that at least his mother is normal. And there she is talking about Mrs. Organa? I don't think so. I think that this is a great dramatic choice that Lucas, you know, and according to the annotated screenplay, he thought about it long and hard and realized that it was a necessity. And then it even, you know, kind of creeped its way into the novelization. Do we have anybody? Oh, we do have someone that wants to chime in on this. We've got Mick. Mick, how are you?
Hello. Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. You want to weigh in on this?
Thanks for Yeah, I'd like to. I actually agree with you, Jason, because I actually don't look any further than at the end of Revenge of the Sith, because you can, if I'm not mistaken, when Padme is giving birth, she actually gently touches Leia's cheek. So if you want to chalk it up to something, you can say that there is a Force connection made there, and that's the reason why Leia does have images or feelings when she described that to Luke in Return of the Jedi. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I kind of see it that way.
Well, you know, I've
that falls very much in line with the Pete Natal super apologist theory. And Mick, I appreciate you coming on to help me out with that. You know, I am very much an apologist about what's going on, just because I like to be able to keep the continuity together.
And, well, he likes to be good cop.
That makes great sense. You know, there's a Force connection there. Bam, it's cut off, but you know, she sees her hiding in a trunk when Anakin and she are playing on Naboo. There's something going on there, you know, something that we saw off screen or never saw because it was off screen.
You know what I hate? I hate when the stuff that we saw off screen is better than what we saw on screen. That's what really drives me nuts. Because I can't think of something more. I can't think of anything more compelling than Padme, you know, running across the universe trying to escape her husband with her newborn children. I mean, I can't think of anything, you know, much more dramatic than that.
That's very true. You know, and George is notorious for leaving certain things to the imagination. It's not the only plot element throughout the saga that you have to fill in the blanks. So, you know, it maybe is a little bit simplistic to try, you know, pawn it off on that one scene, but it's just another way that I think people can justify where Leia's coming from when she's talking to Luke. Because it's a crucial scene, and I agree that, you know, she definitely is talking about her maternal mother, not her adoptive mother. But I kind of use that scene at the end of Sith to sort of cemented further.
I agree, and I think that what all we're left with is that, unfortunately, and look, I mean, there's no doubt I'm a fan, and I could watch these films daily and never get tired of them. But it is fun to talk about, and clearly, the end of Revenge of the Sith is extremely rushed, and if we have to fault it on anything, it's probably the fact that, out of, you know, roughly 8-9 hours of film, you know, George decided to waste 2.5 hours showing Anakin when he was a little boy. And
I agree. It is a little bit rushed. He could have done more. I mean, if nothing else, he could have actually had Padme perhaps hold Leia in her arms. I mean, something as simple as that could have, you know, lent itself to being a little bit more of a connection, you know, just to take it one step further.
Right. I mean, yes, there are. I think there are a number of options that he had, but you know, that's what makes this fun. We can sit back and we can play Monday morning quarterback a little bit, but still we've got these great films and these great stories that lend themselves to all this interpretation. That's part of the fun.
Was that a sports reference?
Yeah, right, I was there? Just going to say that's a sports reference right there. But
yeah,
you know,
I got that one too. That was good.
But I have to say, you know, in looking at the way the prequels played themselves out, I think if we were sitting on the technology that we're sitting on now, going back to 94, 95 when he started talking about making them, you know, that was an important part of making the prequels, was having the technology. If we were there now, I think he would have done things a little bit differently, because I think he would have integrated the TV series, the cartoon series, and the comic books and all the other multimedia that you can do, and really tell a more grand story rather than using it as a fill-in. It would be all a part of the story. So, maybe it's just a matter of timing that didn't allow him to do it. And I have to say that admit that I talked to Jason beforehand, and I do agree with him in the fact that it was something. It's a story element that certainly dropped the ball on what was going on, because there has to be something else there for anybody who's a fan of the movies. And I
agree. Yeah, I agree 100%. I can't argue with that.
But on the same token, I'm with you, Mick, in the fact that we want to make sure that if there's any slight thing that we can cling to that's going to bring all the stories together, we're going to do it.
Anybody?
Right, exactly. You have to find something.
All right, Mick, thanks a lot. We appreciate you being here. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Let's see. Anybody else have any comments on this? It's a fun topic to discuss.
It's certainly a touchy topic, because I think everybody has their opinion, because it is so open-ended. There's so much out there that could possibly be the answer to the question that that we throw out there, that you can – if you can make an argument, you're on as solid a ground as anybody else that's out there.
Yeah, except Jeremy. Jeremy falls apart because he forgets the crucial line.
Well, no, there's got to be something to Jeremy's
argument. I love Jeremy.
And I'm glad that he stayed with it, because it's a lot of fun to talk about these types of things.
Well, what I like is afterwards, I responded with pretty much what I kind of went on here on the show, and he replied, "Yeah, this is a fun debate. It's been a while since I had a good debate about our favorite movies." He says, "But I think you're missing a big point, dude. Luke says, 'Leia, do you remember your mother, your real mother?' To paraphrase old Ben, from a certain point of view, Rhea Organa was her real mother, because they..." He's using the old Ben. It was Charlie Ross refers to, the ultimate liar in the Star Wars films.
You know, that's going to always be the catch-all. You know, it's always from a certain point of view, my brother.
Right, right, right. Use that at work tomorrow. Oh, man. Well, if nobody else has any comments, we're going to go once, twice. Anybody else, you can jump in the line, jump in the queue. All right. Mick, you already went. Come on, man. All right, let's bring him back here. Mick, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, guys.
All right. You want to come in here again and run the debate?
No, I actually don't have too much more to add on that. I just wanted to let Jay know that I'm not using my Bluetooth.
or as I call it, his Lobot starter set.
I can actually see him pointing at the camera right now.
That's cool. Thanks.
That's all I got. I just wanted to let Jay know.
All right. Thanks, Mick. I like that we've got Tallis Jawa on here. She says, "I love Luke's reaction. A certain point of view? I like that, too. You crazy old man?" All right.
Hey, he's just not that worldly at that point.
Nazzy, you're on with the Force Cast. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
I was just on the forums. I think it was Jorbex. He pointed out how Leia seemed to have her eyes open when she was born, and Luke wasn't.
Yeah, but that's just lucky casting, is it? I mean, you got maybe a slightly older baby or something that has
everything to do with my least favorite Star Wars character, the midwife robot droid.
I mean, that's like saying that Mary Kate was just a better actress than Ashley. I mean, the eyes were just a little more open. I mean, it could be on purpose. It is a point. It could be on purpose. I mean, we know that they have the power to, you know, if I don't like an actor's expression in this cut or in this, you know, particular take, I can take the mouth out of this one and take put the eyes in this one. So, I mean, it's a great point, Nazzy. It is a good point because nothing happens by accident in the Star Wars films, particularly the prequels.
And even if it does, it is a happy accident.
All right.
Anything else that you wanted to say?
Nope.
All right. Hey, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.
No problem.
John, go ahead.
Just going back to the whole Leia remembering her mother, being a elementary school teacher, when I went through a lot of my child psychology classes, they did speak about certain children actually recalling their birth and certain elements that happened during their birth. So it's not a huge leap to take saying that Leia could have impressions of her mother, even if you took off all the Force, sensitive ability.
Okay, that's a good point.
Right, and that's a huge thing. I mean, you include the Force-sensitive ability in there, and all of a sudden, bam, it kind of comes into focus a little bit. I think that's a great point.
Well,
absolutely. It would amplify it or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Clearly, I mean, especially when you have a situation where you have a lot of trauma, which clearly Padme had a little bit of trauma there at the end.
Just a little bit.
Just a tad. Hey, John, thanks for being on the show. I think we've got Jay back.
Hey, anytime, Jay.
All right. Thanks, John. Jay, are you with us? I think we had Mick. I think we've lost Jay.
Actually, it's Mick.
All right, Mick, well, you're going to be Jay for now because Jay's not here. We got to wrap this sucker up.
I'll do my best.
Oh my, how time flies when you're trying out all this new technology.
It does go by quickly.
Well, I'm going to thank everybody for volunteering to be part of this madness, which is what it turned out to be. But actually, it was a lot of fun. If we can just work out some of the kinks, it certainly adds a whole new layer to being a fan and being able to congregate like this and talk about these films and these stories and all that. So I had a great time. I hope you did too. Those of you listening to this thing, this weekend, you're never going to know any of this craziness happened. I have to have a blooper reel or something.
There we go.
Anyway, I don't think we have Jay back, but we do have Mick. Mick is here. He was. I think he's back now. Mick, you're going to be Jay because for some reason, Jay's no longer with us.
So okay, I'll be the holocron.
All right. So when I give you the big cue, like, for the Force Cast, that whole thing. You've listened to the show. You know about it.
We know.
Okay, I got you.
If you want to be on the show, make sure you drop us an email, podcast@theforce.net. We're going to continue to sort of test this out in the coming weeks, or drop by the forums, rebelscum.com. And we'll send you an invitation to be part of the ForceCast Live. It is a lot of fun. Also, you can Skype us at username ForceCast, leave us a voicemail, or you can call on your cell or landline, 330-871-4TFM. And I want to thank Jimmy Mack. I want to thank Jovial J. Shepherd, Dustin Roberts, Dan Curto, and the whole crew at theforce.net, rebelscum.com, and, of course, the ForceCast. We appreciate it very much. We'll be back next week with a live kind of show. For the Force Cast,
I'm Pete.
Are you listening?
I'm Mick standing in for Jay.
That's all right. That's all right. You did slightly better than Dustin. And I'm Jason.
Once I heard the 10-second silence, I knew it probably was my turn.
Let's try it one more time. For the Force Cast,
I'm Pete.
I'm Mick, standing in for Jay.
And I'm Jason, and remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.